I invite you to open up to Romans chapter 8 yet again. As we continue to be not only in Romans, but in Romans chapter 8, I have a friend who's maybe about 45 minutes to an hour away. He's preaching through Romans. So we talk every now and then. You know, he's like, Greg, where are you at? I said, I'm in Romans 8. Where are you at? He says, I'm in Romans 2. Later 8, long. Greg, where are you at? I'm in Romans 8. He says, I'm in Romans 3. Later on, Greg, where are you at? I said, I'm in Romans 8. He says, I'm in Romans 4. He says, either you love Romans 8 or you're nervous about Romans 9. Which is it? And I told him it's both, okay? But I absolutely love Romans 8. And I absolutely have been so encouraged. I'm going to begin the message this morning with a picture of a car. Some of you are car buffs. And my guess is a few of you guys maybe could identify what that is, perhaps, maybe, okay? Can you? That's the car that I bought in high school. Now, that's a stock photo. Mine was black, all right? I paid $75 for a used Chevrolet Biscayne. You say, how'd you get a car for $75? It came out of a police impound lot, okay? So maybe somebody was murdered in it. I don't know. But I thought it was worth $75 because it ran. So I'm in the car one day, and I'm driving in Wycliffe, Ohio. It's where I'm from, east side of Cleveland. And I'm coming to a four-way intersection, and I hit the brakes pedal, and the brake pedal went all the way down. And I didn't stop. So I thought I probably need to do something. Yeah, and we're all wired differently. Some people are wired, and, you know, when things don't go well, they're just like, ah, you know. And I've just never been that way because it just never seemed very helpful. So I'm going to an intersection and I'm thinking I need to do something. What do? I can't go through the intersection because I'll probably, you know, get in an accident. And there was a large field kind of thing, like an old gas station a long time ago. But now there were weeds growing everywhere and even small trees. I just headed into the field. And as I headed into the field, hitting all the bushes and the trees slowed me down. And the car didn't look this nice. It dented it up a little bit, but that didn't matter. And so it slowed me down. I came to a stop. Now, here's the point of the illustration. What do I do now? What do I do? I mean, I got $75 into the car. What do I do? And I called a man who knew more than me. And I said, help me out. He said, Greg, that sat in an impound lot. My guess is your master cylinder went bad. Because it's when a car sits for a long time, that happens. And so he said, if that's all it is, it's worth it getting fixed. So I took it in, and that actually is what it was. It was a bad master cylinder. They replaced it, and I'm up and running again. Okay? I didn't know whether to repair it or not. I asked someone who knew more, and that man helped me. And I'm good. But I noticed driving this car, the back end is kind of like everywhere. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't drive it fast. It's an old car. But I'd be going down the road and it would just kind of like bump up and down and even seem to have a little sway in it. And I thought, that just doesn't seem like other cars. So I didn't know what to do. And I went up to a man who knew more than me. That's the point of the illustration. And I said, I don't know what I need to know. Will you help me? He said, well, Greg, it needs shocks and springs. And I said, okay. Would it be worth it? I mean, I only paid $75 for the car. And he said, yes. If the engine and transmission are good and the car runs, that would be a good thing. And so I went, took it into the shop. You say, okay, so what's the point of the illustration? There are times when we don't know what to do. There are times when we need help. There are times we're thinking about, okay, no brakes. I know that's a problem, but what do I do about it, if anything? And back end, not real good. What do I do about it? Can someone help me who knows more than me, who can help me know how to respond? And there's an answer to that question. And it's Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps our weakness. There are times in life where we need help. And Paul says, in the same way the Spirit helps our weakness, we're looking at two verses, hopefully, this morning, chapter 8, verse 26 and 7 of Romans, the title, Help from the Holy Spirit. You say, what's going on and why do you love this chapter so much? It's about the Holy Spirit helping us. Now, I've read this in multiple places, and the count might be off slightly, but I read, and this is the count I came up with. I just skimmed through Romans chapter 1 through 7, and I found four references to the Holy Spirit. And then I read Romans chapter 8, and I found 33 references to the Holy Spirit. That's a big difference. Four times in seven chapters versus 33 times in one chapter. So whatever is going on in this chapter, it has to do with the Holy Spirit. You say, okay, how does the chapter begin? Just quick review. I love chapter 8, verse 1. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If your faith's in Christ, you'll never be condemned for your sin. And I know brothers and sisters who don't understand this yet. And they still say to me, Greg, I think God's punishing me for my sin. And I say, well, no, I thought you were a Christian. God punished Jesus for your sin. And then I go to Romans 8:1, and they're like, okay, yeah. And this is so encouraging. I love this verse. You say, you've already told us that. But I just love it. And so as long as we're in Romans 8, I think we'll keep bringing it up. And there's more in this text, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So how do I know I'm a believer? My spirit. I believe in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is a second testimony. And the Spirit testifies that you're a follower of Christ. How? Through your sanctification. The Lord is changing your life. That's a separate testimony. That's 8:16, but as many of you know, it doesn't stop there. Let me add now verse 17. We don't like this part so much. If indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Now, we all like the idea that one day we'll be glorified. And I was just talking to a brother about that yesterday. And I saw an old friend. I say a friend. I see him every couple of years. And he was mentioning he's getting older and he's having some physical challenges. And just in the conversation, I brought up, but you know what's awesome is one day it's all going to be perfect and we're going to be glorified. And there were three of us brothers together and we all smiled and rejoiced in that. The problem is this phrase right here, if indeed we suffer. And I think we all want to say, Lord, do we have to suffer first before we hit the glory? And the answer is yes. Paul wants us to understand we must suffer first. Then comes glory. Now, you say, what do we do to encourage us while we're suffering? Well, we look to the Holy Spirit for help. And the title again is Help from the Holy Spirit. Our first point this morning, well, three simple points. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. So, just to set this up. Lord, and I don't mean to be irreverent, but this is just maybe how you think, maybe how I think. Lord, one day there's going to be incredible glory. That's correct. And you're telling me in verse whatever, 18 I think, or somewhere in there, that the sufferings of this present world can't be compared to that glory. That's correct. But Lord, I have to suffer first before I get to the glory. That's correct. Lord, could you please help me while I go through this life with suffering? And the Lord says, sure, I'll help you. And that's the text, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Now, let's just kind of go through this a little bit. I want this to encourage us. Just the first phrase in verse 26. In the same way. What in the world does that mean? Well, in the same way reflects back on what? It's the idea of just what Paul has told us earlier. Just go back to verse 24 and verse 25 in your Bible. Just right before, obviously, verse 26. Paul says, verse 24, in hope we've been saved. Paul says, I want to give you hope. When you got saved, you put your hope in Jesus and you're hoping one day you're going to be with Christ. Keep hoping. End of verse 24. For who hopes for what he already sees? So I say, Lord, I don't see the glory. And Paul's response is, of course you don't see the glory. You're hoping in it. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. So keep hoping and keep waiting. Verse 26. In the same way. In the same way. You say, in the same way what? In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. So here we are hoping that one day we're going to be like Christ. We're going to see everything made new. And in the same way that encourages us, what do we know? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness. That word helps is actually quite an interesting word, okay? And it's used only twice in the New Testament. Luke chapter 10, verse 40 is the other time. And many of you know this story. Martha was distracted with all her preparations and she came up to him, to Jesus, and said, "Lord, you do not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone. Tell her, help me. I mean, Lord, won't you help me? Won't you help me by telling my sister to help me, Mary?" Now, notice what's going on. Martha is basically saying what? Would you please have my sister assist? And that's what the word means. The word means to assist another person with a burden. The word means to join with me in helping. Now, the context is prayer, and I'm not to get ahead of myself. But in verse 26, when it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness," Paul's not saying, "So you don't have to pray because the Spirit's helping you." Paul is saying, yes, you do have to pray, but you don't have to pray alone because you have someone helping. Just like a sister would help another sister getting things ready for Jesus, then what we would do is we would trust the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. Notice verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. You say, why do we need help? Because of our weakness, which may mean any kind of weakness, weakness in general, the sufferings that we encounter. And we've already talked about those. That's the context of Romans chapter 8. That may well be a general weakness. But notice, as soon as Paul says verse 26 also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray, many people believe it actually refers to the weakness of prayer, or at least somehow we don't know what to pray. Either way, I think we're in the same place. Here's what's going on. Life is hard. People in this world sin against you. And be honest, you sin against them. You sin right back. And we all live in a sin-cursed world, and it's hard. And we get sick, and we have illnesses. Some are minor, and they just annoy us. Some are anything but minor. And they're chronic, and they follow us sometimes throughout life. We go through this life of difficulty and suffering. We know we should pray, but it's hard to know what to pray. And Lord, what do we do? We know glory's coming, but it's not here yet. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit will help you. That's why we have this first point this morning. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Okay? And you'll never get help until you admit it. So the first thing we have to do is be humble enough to say, I need help. Simple illustration, kind of part two. I used part last week. I had a flat tire on my motorcycle. So I have to get the wheel off of the bike. And I'm not a mechanic. And for some of you, that's very simple. But I've just never done that. So I actually watched a YouTube video on how to take the rear wheel off of a bike. And you have to pull the mufflers off to get to the axle. And I thought, okay, that's the first step. And then I actually Googled it, and another guy said, that's what everybody says, but don't do it because your muffler screws are very hard to take off. It's a lot easier just to remove the shocks, and then the swing arm will drop down and you could remove it. And I thought, that makes sense to me. You know, what do I know? I don't know anything. And I actually had a brother come over, and he was very kind to offer. He works on bikes a lot. He's mechanical. I'm really not. And he helped me. So with the help of a video and the help of a post and the hope of a brother, I got my wheel off. And then I took it to a shop because I thought, and I said to this brother, let's put a new tube in. Because I've done that on bicycles. He says, yeah, Greg, on motorcycle wheels, it's not so easy. We really have to go to a shop. We took it to a shop, and there paid a gentleman to put a new tube in the tire. And what's your point? Guys, we need help. I needed all kinds of help on something like that, You need help. We all need help in life. And we have to be humble and we have to say to the Lord, Lord, I need help. Would you help me? And Paul is here telling us, yes, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Now, you say, okay, so your weakness was motorcycle, tire replacement, or tube replacement related. Greg, what kind of help is Paul talking about? Because I don't think he's probably talking about vehicles. And I don't think he is either. So that's our second point. And it's in the second half of verse 26. Let's see if we can figure this out. In the same way, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, helps our weakness. Okay, give me more information, please, Paul. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Interesting. We do not know how to pray as we should. And I've thought a lot about this more than just recently. And what does Paul mean, I don't know how to pray? Because I thought you just go to the Lord in Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit helps you pray and you talk to the Lord. Well, this helped me a lot. So I'm studying this verse and I find out that the pronoun in the New American Standard that focuses on prayer, here translated how to pray, in reality rarely means how. And the fact of the matter is, in the ESV and in the Holman and in the NIV, it's actually translated with the word what. So what this actually says is we don't know what to pray. And for me, now I should have looked earlier, but for the first time I started thinking, this makes more sense. Because there's times in my life I don't know what to do. I know to pray, and I kind of know how to pray. I mean, dear Lord, help me, in Jesus' name. But I don't know what to pray. You know? Do you put a new master cylinder in a $75 car? Do you get new shocks and springs on a $75? I don't know. Let me apply it to some of the real challenges of life. What should you pray when you're suffering? I mean big time suffering. I don't mean the sinus headaches that I get, okay, that are irritating, but probably can hold the candle to some of the suffering that some of the people in our congregation are going through. What do you pray? Think about it. When you're suffering, you want help. There's a word for help. It's called grace. What kind of grace do you pray for? Should you pray for healing grace? Every time you're sick, should you pray for healing grace? And if you ask me, I would say, I don't know. Because maybe it's God's will to heal you, but maybe it's not. You say, Greg, what else would you pray for? Some people would pray for enduring grace. And God in His will sometimes allows us to suffer. And we go through life with ailments that never go away until we see Christ. And the Lord knows that's how we can best honor Him. And He will give us enduring grace. Sometimes we need to pray for dying grace. Because there are times where God allows us to encounter challenges, sicknesses, accidents. And it's time for us to go home. And I could be praying, Lord, heal me. But that's not God's will. I could be praying, okay, Lord, I'm going to stay here a long time. Give me grace to endure. But that's not God's will. And God is getting ready to take me home. And that's how He's going to bring Himself glory. And if I'm praying for healing grace when it's His will I go home, I'm praying against His will. And if I'm praying for enduring grace when it's God's will that maybe I get healed, I'm praying against His will. These are hard things. Okay. And there's a little bit of feedback. I apologize for that. So what should we pray for when we're suffering? The point I'm trying to make is I don't know. And you don't know. And there was even a time in Paul's life where he just didn't know. And I think some of you know that 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just to review that, okay? Concerning this, remember the thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 9? Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Do you understand what's going on in that verse? Three times, I'm going to paraphrase, Paul said, dear Lord, take this thorn away. Three times, because he thought that was God's will. And you know what God said? No, no, no. Paul was not praying in God's will. The Lord did say, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to give you enduring grace. Why not healing grace? Well, Paul didn't know initially, but reflecting on this, now I have to go one verse earlier. And many of you know this. Paul came to understand that verse 7 of chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Why? Key. To keep me from exalting myself. It was God's ordained will that Paul suffer a thorn in the flesh, the best I can tell, chronically, as long as he was in this world, the best I can tell. And Paul was saying, what? Lord, take it away. And the Lord said, no. Why do we need help? Notice what the text says. We're in Romans 8, 26. We do not know how to pray as we should. We just don't know. You don't know God's will much of the time. I've heard people say, I would never pray if I didn't know God's will. Guys, much of the time, you have no idea what God's will is. Paul was wrong. Certainly we could be wrong. I don't know what to pray. You say, that could be discouraging. This message was supposed to encourage me. Well, I hope this next phrase will encourage you deeply, even as it has me. Verse 26. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. You say, Greg, what do I do when I don't know what to pray? What do I do? Remember, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. See, here am I. And Lord, I'm facing a problem. We'll say with that main one. Lord, is this time for me to be healed? Are you going to heal me? Or Lord, are you going to let me just struggle with this illness my whole life long? Or Lord, are you getting ready to take me home? I don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. Now, notice the word intercession in verse 26. When I pray for me, that's called prayer. When I pray for you, that's called intercession. Don't get thrown off by the word. When you pray for yourself, that's called prayer. When you pray for me, that's called intercession. The Holy Spirit's not praying for himself. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. That's intercession. So it says the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Okay? And that brings me absolute, incredible confidence that when I don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit is praying for me. You say, how's he doing it? Let's just finish the verse. It says, with groanings too deep for words. I'm going to paraphrase that with wordless groans. Now, we're going to have to try to understand this, and there's many different ways of understanding it. And my heart is, I don't want you to get overly concerned with the details and lose the blessing of the big picture. The big picture is this. We don't know what to pray. That's how weak we are. But the Holy Spirit knows, and he's praying for us. That's an incredibly awesome reality. But the text gives us more information. So let's look at it. With groanings too deep for words. Now, the noun here, groanings, we've seen it before, at least as a verb in verse 23. These are not sighs of joy. These are sighs of sorrow. And it says too deep for words. You say, what does that mean? Well, A lot of translations translate it, NASB, ESV, whatever, too deep for words. It may mean that. I'm just telling you, that's not what it says. Literally in the text, it says groanings that are wordless. I think I've translated it very literally. Wordless groans. Why are they wordless, Greg? I don't know. Are they too deep for words? I don't know. It's not what the text says. Maybe it's what the text means. It just means there's no words. That's all I know. So the Holy Spirit's praying for me, and somehow it relates to groans, and there's no words being used. Okay, pause. Now I'm going to address something real quickly. There are brothers and sisters in Christ who say, I know what it is. This is called, Greg, the gift of tongues. This is a gift that people speak in a supernatural prayer language to God. It's the gift of tongues. What do you think? And my response, with no animosity, with no desire to fight, would simply be, I would disagree with that for many reasons, but I will name two that I think are fairly obvious. Number one, there's no words. You can't have language without words. So could this be the gift of tongues? How can it be if there's no words? Secondly, the Apostle Paul is talking about a reality for all Christians. Even people who believe today that you can speak in tongues realize that not everyone has the gift. This verse is talking about something that every Christian has access to, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, praying for them. And so there is no way that you can argue that this actually applies to what the Bible calls the gift of speaking in tongues. It simply cannot be the case. There's actually more reasons why I would disagree with that. Talk to me later. I'd be very glad to speak with you if that's helpful for you. One more thing real quick. It says the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Excuse me, let me go back to the previous verse, 26. The Holy Spirit does this, it says at the end of the text, with groanings, too deep for words, literally wordless groans. Quick question, who's groaning? I don't know. About half of the commentators say the Holy Spirit's groaning. But you can't hear it because there's no words. You say that's metaphorical groaning. How could it be metaphorical? The whole context is about creation groaning. Guys, does creation really groan? Have you ever heard a tree go, I can't wait till Jesus comes back? No, it's metaphorical. So we're probably talking about metaphorical groanings, maybe. Is it the Holy Spirit groaning? About half the commentators say, yes. You say, who else could be groaning? Us. It could be that we're the ones groaning, and the Holy Spirit is praying for us while we're groaning. I would tend towards that second interpretation because Romans 8 is about suffering. Let's put it all together. Here I am suffering, and I want the glory, but God says, no, Greg, you got to wait later you see the glory. In this world, you're going to suffer. Okay, so Lord, will you help me? Yes, the Holy Spirit will help you. But Lord, I don't know what to pray. I know you don't know what to pray. So when you're praying and it's hard and you're groaning because you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And I'm sitting here praying maybe for a brother or sister in Christ. Lord, they're facing such a challenge. Lord, should I pray that they have healing grace? Maybe your will is to heal them. I don't know. Lord, should I pray that they have sustaining grace? Maybe your will is to sustain them and they will live for you even with this ailment. Or Lord, should I pray for them dying grace? Because maybe you're getting ready to promote them to glory. Lord, I don't know what your will is. Help me. And God's answer is, the Holy Spirit's praying, Greg. It's all right. And I'm even going to make an application that I hope is proper. Even though this is in the context of Romans 8 suffering, it would seem to me this applies to other areas of life. You know, when you're trying to decide, should I change jobs? I don't know. Should I go for another degree? I don't know. Should I buy a new house? I don't know. Should I maybe fix the old car, or is it time just to get rid of it? I don't know. You know what's interesting? And Moo points this out in the commentary, so I'm quoting somebody here. The Bible never tells you to ask for an answer. The Bible never tells you to ask for special revelation. And I know there'll be a little bit of a disagreement on this, and I'm fine with that. There are people who pray, show me. Lord, show me. I know it's not in the Bible, but show me. Lord, show me if I should change jobs. Show me if I should get another degree. Show me if I should get another car. Lord, show me if I should buy a house. I'm asking for special revelation. And it never comes up in this text. But there's a confidence. Except that you don't know. And now I feel like I'm preaching from Ecclesiastes. We'll be there tonight. Life is hard. It's Havel. All is vanity. And there are many times where we simply don't know. And rather than begging God for extra biblical revelation and looking for signs, at least this text is emphasizing, be confident. Just admit, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. But one thing I do know, the Holy Spirit is praying for me. And that is absolutely awesome. And if you're thinking, why? Well, let's read the next verse. You probably already have read ahead, and now we'll see why. Why is it so awesome to have the Holy Spirit praying for us? Because He knows something you don't know, something I don't know. Verse 27. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit prays according to God's will. You say, well, where are you getting that from? Okay, first point, sub point. The Father always hears the Spirit's prayer. You say, where are you getting the Father from? Okay, just real quick through the text. Verse 27, and He, that's God the Father, who searches the hearts. God knows exactly what's in my heart. God knows that I want to honor Him. And I'm praying, Lord, should I be praying for healing, sustaining grace, or promotion to heaven, dying grace? Lord, I want to please You. I don't know. God knows. He knows what I'm struggling with. He, the Father, searches the hearts. And notice the next phrase. And He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit always knows what to pray. Notice the end of the text. Because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows what you can't know. The Holy Spirit knows what you won't know. You don't know. You don't know. The Spirit knows what to pray. Do you see that in the end of the text, verse 27? He intercedes, He prays for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I'm not telling you it's exactly like this. It's simply an illustration. But here's what I think maybe is going on. Oh, Lord, I want to praise You. The Lord knows my heart. He knows at least on a good day. That's true. Lord, I do want to honor You with my life. He knows my heart. He knows at least on good days by His grace. That's true. And Lord, here I am and I'm struggling with something huge. Lord, I have this illness. Do I pray for healing, sustaining grace, or going home to heaven grace? I don't know. Lord, here I am and I'm thinking about changing jobs or changing homes. Should I sell my house and move? Should I quit my job and get a new one? Lord, I don't know. Let's make it simple. Lord, should I pay to get a $75 car repaired? Lord, I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows. And He's praying. And He's praying for you, beloved, according to the will of God.
The Holy Spirit is praying to the Father, and the Holy Spirit knows what you don't know. Do you find that encouraging? You know, I'm convinced that sometimes in this life, there are people praying for healing against God's will, just like the Apostle Paul. So I'm not putting you down, right? Paul's a good guy. And there are people saying, Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me. And I think the Holy Spirit saying, Father, you know he means well. He's praying outside of your will. Lord, don't listen to him, okay? Lord, give him the grace to take him home gloriously. And he's going to love it once he's there. And there are times where maybe I'm praying, Lord, I want a new job, or I want a new house, or Lord, I want to fix the car. Help me, help me, help me. And the Holy Spirit is saying, oh, Father, he just doesn't know. He means well. He loves you. But Lord, I'm going to interpret the prayers because I know your will in ways that he doesn't. I find that absolutely incredible. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. What's the weakness? It certainly involves that we don't know what to pray for. So the Holy Spirit prays always according to God's will. And the Father always hears the prayers of the Spirit because the Spirit knows what to pray. I want to show you an example of Paul maybe working through that in Philippians. Now, you remember, he's under house arrest. And under house arrest, chained maybe to a guard or something like that, he writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body. Notice, whether by life or by death. I'm in prison. Am I going to be executed? I don't know. Well, what do I know? Well, I know I want Christ to be exalted in my body. That might be by life, and I'm set free. I want Christ to be exalted. It might be I'm beheaded. That's fine. I just want Christ to be exalted. And then he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And there's a chorus I think many of us sing, you know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, which is wonderful. I don't think we always really think about what Paul's saying. Paul is saying what? To be released is Christ, to be beheaded is gain. I'm good either way. If they execute me, that's awesome. I'm going to heaven. If they let me go, I want to live for Christ. And Paul is openly saying, I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. And 22 through 4 continues. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose. But I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. For that is very much better. For yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Paul is struggling. You say, okay, Greg, put this all together. What do you think? I think there's a lot of believers, and we don't understand the Holy Spirit's praying for us. And we don't realize he always prays according to God's will. And that's why we're asking. We're asking for special revelation. Lord, show me, should I buy a new car? Wow, a commercial came on. A commercial for a Chevy. Thank you, Jesus. Unless you don't want a Chevy. And then you're thinking like, Lord, I meant the second commercial will be, right? We pray, oh, Lord, should I marry this person? Show me. And then that morning, what? She's wearing a green sweater. Green means go. Thank you, Jesus. You know. And if she's wearing red, it's like red means stop. And you're laughing, but there are some people who say these things quite seriously. I think what I'm, in fact, I know what I'm seeing in this passage is I come to the Lord, at least I should come to the Lord, and say, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. I am a weak person. And I simply, now, sometimes I do know what to pray for. Let me just make it clear. Lord, it's your will that I love my wife. Lord, help me to love my wife. That's God's will. Lord, it's your will that I honor you. Lord, help me to honor you. That's your will. There are many things. Children, Lord, I know it's your will that I obey mom and dad. Okay, Lord, help me to be obedient. There's many things we know to pray, but there are many times we simply don't. It's part of our weakness. So what do? We acknowledge it and we say, Holy Spirit, would you please help? And he prays for us. Always according to the Father's will. I think that is absolutely awesome and encouraging in every way. So let me end with one final picture. Did I ever tell you what it was? It's a 1968 Chevrolet Biscayne four-door. Okay? And it didn't look nearly as nice as that. Mine was black and it was kind of beat up. And after I went through all of those trees, it looked even worse. Okay. I took it because I didn't know what to do to a guy who does shocks and springs. And I said, this car runs. The transmission seems to be okay. The motor seems to be okay. I just put a master cylinder in it. The back end's pretty loose. Could you put shocks maybe and springs on it? Because I was told that would be a good thing. I don't know what to do, but that's what I was told. And the guy said, sure, not a problem. So I sit in the waiting room and he puts the car up on a lift. And I could kind of see it through the window. And I'm kind of watching him and he's working on it. The next thing I know, he just walks away and he comes up to me. And actually, he left the car up and he comes walking to me. And he says, Greg, forget the shocks. I said, why? He says, I don't think that's your main problem. I said, what's my main problem? He says, you got a cracked frame. Your frame is cracked. I said, that sounds bad. He says, it's very bad. I said, I don't know what to do. Do you weld cracked frames? He said, not this one. He said, this one is rusted. This one, if it could be welded, I would assure you the weld wouldn't stick. I don't know what to do. I said, sir, what do I do? He says, what you do is you take it to a junkyard, drive very slowly, and be glad you might get $25 for it. And that's what I did. I got $25 back on my $75 car. Okay. Now, what's the point? There are many times I don't know what to do. Should I replace a master cylinder? Should I get shocks? Should I have the frame welded? I have to find someone who knows more than me. Going through this life, we frequently don't know what to pray, and we're suffering. Praise the Lord, the Spirit is praying for us. And the Father always hears the prayers of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit prays according to God's will. I hope by God's grace that this truth will encourage you and bless you as much as it has me. Let's pray.